Good afternoon. I'm Stuck Mike, and you're listening to EAA Radio. Just a few minutes before the afternoon weather conversation, which then leads at the bottom of the hour into the showcase. And right now we're talking to a couple of special guests who are visiting AirVenture for the first time. Rear Admiral William Sizemore, who is the Chief of Naval Air Training, is here. And John Supple, who is his Public Affairs Officer, is with us. Bill, John, thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, Mike, it's a real honor to be here.
Now, I understand this is your first AirVenture.
It is.
Well, tell me what you think.
Well, it's kind of overwhelming, but I just use the word amazing. And, you know, we use that word a lot, I think, to describe a lot of things. But I think that's probably a good, very descriptive word of this. Just when we flew in here yesterday, just the sheer number of airplanes that we saw. I've never seen a place that had so many airplanes and then the people and the venue here. It's just, it's amazing.
Jaw-dropping.
Jaw-dropping. Yeah, I got to tell you, my jaw-dropping moment, aside from watching the C-17 land this morning, which is a pretty big piece of airplane, was the row upon row of little yellow Piper Cubs all back there. I didn't get a chance to see the flight of 75 come in early Sunday morning, but once they were all here and in a row, it's like, my goodness, what a huge impact this company and this airplane has had on general aviation.
Yeah, it sure has.
Yeah.
Now, we saw them when we came in here, and just... really amazing.
Historically, I bet there were plenty of Navy pilots that started flying Piper Cubs.
I bet a whole bunch of them. In fact, a whole generation of World War II pilots probably started out in a Piper Cub.
So give us a sense of what is the scope of the Naval Air Training Command, both geographically in terms of its impact, even beyond the Navy.
Well, the Naval Air Training Command is charged with training all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard pilots. And we'll take people... that join the Navy as officers and teach them to fly over a 1.5 to 2.5 year syllabus. And we are located in Florida. We have two training air wings in Florida. We have one in Meridian, Mississippi, and then two training air wings in Texas, one in Corpus Christi, Texas, and one in Kingsville, Texas.
So how many naval aviator students are there in process at any one point in time?
We train about 1,500 per year, and then again, those are Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard students, and a few Air Force students, and a few international students, and about 1,200 of those are pilots, and about 300 of those are naval flight officers that are sensor operators, do various things right in the backseat of fighters or in other type of airplanes.
And how much time on the calendar typically from the start to the end of your period of responsibility for these people?
It depends on the pipeline. And the shortest pipelines are the Naval Flight Officer pipelines, and they go from anywhere, the shortest is a year, start to finish. And then the longest pilot pipeline is about 2 years, and that's for a jet pilot, a carrier jet pilot.
How many different places are there where a naval aviator might be trained?
Well, there's Pensacola, Florida, Whiting Field, Florida, and Milton in Florida, Meridian, Mississippi, Corpus Christi, Texas, or Kingsville, Texas. We do primary training, the initial training in either Whiting Field in Milton, Florida, or Corpus Christi, Texas. So you can go to one of those two places to start. And when you finish that basic primary training, then you'll go into advanced training. If you go helicopters, you'll go to Whiting Field. If you go jets, you'll either go to Meridian, Mississippi, or you go to Kingsville, Texas. And if you go multi-engine, then you'll go to Corpus Christi, Texas.
Now, here's a kind of a... forgive me if this is a dumb question, but I've always wondered how it is that you safely teach somebody to land on a deck.
On an aircraft carrier?
Yeah. What do you think, what are the things that you do when you're not actually at sea to try to get a person to really understand how to do this without killing themselves or breaking an airplane?
Well, you're always, you know, the Navy will never send you to do anything unless you're very well prepared to do it, you know, in any phase of your training. But it's towards the end of the jet pipeline syllabus. We call it the strike syllabus. And, you will do a lot of touch-and-go landings on a field, a carrier box on a field with a landing signal officer standing on the side of it with the radio grading every single pass. And you'll do over 100 landings. And when they say you're ready to go, then you're ready to go. And obviously, you'll spend some time in a classroom. You know, we talk about the procedures. And then you also do a lot of time in a simulator. We've got a world-class simulator, visual simulator, and you'll go out there and in the simulator and do everything you're going to do on the aircraft carrier in the simulator, and you'll practice all the different emergencies that you could possibly see, as well as just the standard routine procedures. and you're ready to go. By the time you get at the end of that syllabus, you're itching to go out to the boat and qualify. Yeah.
Now, of course, last year was the centennial of naval aviation. You had a lot of aircraft here that you wouldn't typically see anywhere, much less all in one place. I understand you've brought some of those back to us this year.
We did. So for the centennial of naval aviation, we painted up, I believe, 7 airplanes in historic colors, representing training airplanes in the past or fleet airplanes in the past, and we brought them here. And this year is the centennial of Marine Corps aviation, so we're bringing back a number of those airplanes. And right now we've got 2 here at Oshkosh, and we have 2 more coming in today.
Fantastic. Be great to see them again.
We're really excited to bring them out here.
When you see the community here that sort of bubbles up around AirVenture, are you looking at this, frankly, as a kind of a recruiting opportunity?
Absolutely. You know, we look at everything as a potential recruiting opportunity. Yeah. And the other part is we just want to show the folks what their Navy does, what their naval aviation does. And so it's kind of twofold.
So what are the odds that a person who's an aviation enthusiast and of, appropriate age and experience to enlist can end up being a naval aviator?
Well, it's a really high probability. And so if you talk to a lot of naval aviators, a lot of them will tell you what it was kind of the keystone event. You know, they were at an air show or they met a pilot or they saw the Blue Angels and they said, that's kind of something I'd like to do. And it's amazing how many people you talk to that are naval aviators, and that's how the interest was sparked. And so we're hoping, by coming in here to spark some interest in some of the young folks that are here.
Well, that's great.
Yes, sir.
So what are the opportunities that they can take advantage of while they're here? The aircraft that you mentioned, they're going to be both static and flying. I mean, you've flown these all in, right? So obviously they're going to be
flying. We flew them all in, and so they're parked here, and you'll see some. We're all either in our uniform or a flight suit walking around here, and we'd love to talk to anybody that that wants to talk. And then we're bringing in an F-18 on Friday, and we're going to do the tactical demonstration, but we're going to do our TAC demo, and we're going to be doing that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here at Oshkosh. And so they'll be able to see that and talk to the pilots.
So look, I see people looking around. Do we have something coming in?
Our T-6.
Oh, T-45. One of our Century of Naval Aviation painted aircraft from Meridian, Mississippi, is just getting towed down the ramp. So,
great.
It was supposed to land about 15 minutes ago.
Yep.
So it looks like it's right on time.
Well, we would expect nothing else, right? Because they know you're here and you've got your clipboard with you. So John Supple, who's works public affairs for Naval Air Training Command, you've been awful quiet over there here. I wanted to give you a chance to talk before we wrap up here.
Thanks. Oh, we're just happy to be here. It's a great time to go out and, like you said, like Daniel said, talk to the people and tell people about naval aviation. I'm a former helicopter guy, and so I love helicopters. I love aviation. And like you said, it just that spark that we want to ignite in these kids.
Well, it's nice to have some at least anecdotal evidence that your impact is a meaningful one when you do these. I'm sure it's not at minimal cost, the rate at which you're turning, fuel into noise and energy. So,
we brought students with us. So every flight that we flew to get here, we got a student completed on it.
We're always training.
Always training. We don't go out and fly these airplanes unless we're doing a mission or we're getting something done. So we brought students that are in those pipelines, depending on what the airplane type is, to get training. So they get the extra benefit of, getting to see Oshkosh, while they're training.
Which is a treat, I bet.
It really is.
That's great.
Yeah, they're all excited.
Rear Admiral William Sizemore, Chief of Naval Air Training, thank you so much for coming by EA Radio. We hope you have a great week here.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thanks.
Thank
Stuck,
you.
Mike.
I got to say I didn't pick that name, but not to press the pun too far, it has kind of stuck.
It's a great call sign.
That's awesome.
You're listening to EAA Radio.